Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Kama Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph with the first half of Mishnah Tet of the third parak. Shor Shavem Maneh Shenagach Shor Shavem Matayim Veina Nevela Yafa Klum Notel Et Hashor. Alright, parenthetically, we are from this point till the end of the parak, as we saw at the end of the previous podcast, going to be dealing with the issues of payment of a Shor Tam, payment of a Shor Muad, dealing with Safek, etc. Okay, the rule of the Mishnah is, if a shor, and this is a shor tam, is worth 100, and it gores a shor worth 200, and the carcass is worth nothing, theoretically, then simply the nizak collects the shor, worth 100, half the nezak. Now, matnitin mani, who is the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva hi? Why, Tanya, Yusham HaShor B'Veitin Rabbi Shmuel, Kimomer Huchlat HaShor. This famous machloket about Yusham HaShor and Huchlat HaShor, conceptually looks at the issue of a shor tam that does nezek as follows. Do we say that from the minute of nezek, the shor is now co-owned by the mazik and the nizak? That would be huchlat hashor. Or do we say that that the owner of the mazik is liable for money and the vehicle for collection is the shor? And that's Rabbi Shmuel's perspective. Let's see. He says he's a balchov, and the fellow wants money, and the Torah is signed for collection. He signed the shor. Kiva savar shutfininu. He says, no. The mazik and nizak are partners in the ownership of the mazik, of the shor tam. Now, kamipalgi b'hai kra, and their disagreement is rooted in a disagreement about how to read this pasuk. In the context of shor tam, it says you sell the living ox, the mazik, and split the money. Shmuel says that this pasuk is addressed to the Beit Din. It says, here's what you guys do. You have to arrange for collection. Here's how you do it. He says, no, the Torah is directly talking to the two of them and said, you guys split it. In other words, you're co-owners. Okay, now, my benayhu, what is the practical difference between their positions? Nikdesho nizak ika benayhu. If the nizak was makdish the animal after the nezek, before hamara bedin, what's the status? According to Rabbi Yishmael, the hektish would be meaningless because he has no ownership in it. According to Rabbi Kiva, it would at least be partially meaningful and there might be a need for pidyon. Now, ba'mine Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman the following. Machro mazik, Rabbi Shmuel Mahu. Now this question, of course, does not exist according to Rabbi Kiva, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the mazik has full ownership over the shore, is this, if he sells the shore before Hamad Abedin, is that valid? Kevin Rabbi Shmuel Balchov Vuzuzi Ramasik Lay, since Rabbi Shmuel holds that essentially the mazik owes money. So we'd say Mahur, therefore his sale of the ox is not a problem, it's a sale, and he still owes the money. Odilma, or do we say that since he's meshubit to pay the nizak from that ox, therefore he has no rights to sell it? What's the deen? Amarle in omacher. Rav Nachman said, the sale's no good. Rabbi says back, Tanya machro machur. We have a braita that says it's valid. The answer Rav Nachman gave is choser v'govehu. It means, yes, if the mazik sells the shor to a third party, then the nizak can go and collect it from him. So Rava then says, "V'chemiachar shachoz v'goveu." If the nizak can go collect it from the lokeach, lama machur. So for what's the point of saying that it's sold? The answer is luridya, for the work, the plowing that it did. Meaning, if the mazik sells the shor to a third party, and for let's say the week that it takes until the nizak catches up with him and collects it, the ox in the meantime did a bunch of work. We don't say that the buyer now owes for that work back to either the nizak or the mazik. We say that that's his, the sale was valid, and now there's a collection on it. All right, so now, what's the implication? Shmamina lava umachar metaltalin beitin govin lomehem. If a person borrows money, and then he sells metaltalin, beitin can collect those metaltalin, because after all, shor is metaltalin. So since when, if you owe money, and you sell metaltalin, can the beitin or the balchov go collect the metaltalin from the lokeach, right? And that's certainly not the case. The answer is shani hatam the chaman da sopotikidami, because since the Torah said you collect from the shore, this is according to Mishmuel, of course, you collect from the shore. Therefore, it says if the shore was made in a potiki assigned for collection, I v'amarav asavdo apotiki machro balchov govehemenu shore apotiki machro ein balchov govehemenu. But Rava himself said that if you assign collection to an Eved and then you sell him, the Baal Chov can go collect him from Lokeach. But if you made the Shor into an Apotekin and sold him, the Baal Chov cannot collect from him. So how can you collect from the Shor here? The answer is Eved, my time, Mamashum Did Lekola. The reason that we said that if you make your Eved an Apotekin, the Baal Chov can collect from the Lokeach is because making an Eved an Apotekin is something that everybody hears about. Therefore, the Lokeach heard about it and was taking a risk. But a Shor, normally, people don't hear about. Hainami kevin to nagach kola idle. But this Shor, everybody heard about because he was nokeach. The Torah nagchana karule. They all call him the Goring Shor. And therefore, since he's well known, and since the fellow knows that the Nizak's going to come for collection, he took a risk by buying him. All right. Good. Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Marava kameh Rabbi Avahu. So he said, this is a Chacham Eretz Yisrael taught in front of Rabbi Avahu of Kisaria. Machro ein machur. He just taught the following. And it's either the Mazik or the Nizak. We know we're talking about a short time. We know we're talking about after Nezek. We know we're talking about before Hamad Abedin. Machro ein machur hekdesho mukdash. And that seems to be a split decision, where if the person we're talking about sells it, the sale's no good. But if he's makdash it, it is good. Now, machro man, who's the one who's mocher it? Ile mamazik. If it's the Mazik, so machro ein machur, ein machur, if you're saying that the sale is no good, Mani, who's that? Rabbi Akiva he. Damar uchlat ashor. It must be, therefore, the author of that bright, it must be Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Nizak is a co-owner, and therefore the Mazi can't sell it. But look at the end. V'ikdishom mukdash atan Rabbi Shmuel. That sounds like Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Damar yusham ashor b'veitin. That it totally belongs to the Nizak, the Mazik, and therefore he can be makdish it. So therefore, this brayta doesn't make sense because within one sentence it's in a mixed and opposite opinion. Ela Nizak. It must be the Nizak who sold or was makdish. So machro eno machor mani. Who is it who says if you sell it, it's no good? That's Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel says the Mazik owns it. Hekdesho mukdash atan Rabbi Akiva. If the Nizak has any power whatsoever, that's Rabbi Akiva. But if he can't sell it, that's Rabbi Shmuel. So we have the same problem. Leolam Mazik, we have to go back to the beginning and say it's the Mazik who sells it and the sale's no good, and the Hekdesh is good. We'll see what valid means here in the context of Hekdesh. V'divra Hakol, the truth is that this is both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva would agree with this ruling. Machro and Omachor, the sale's no good, afilu Rabbi Shmuel. Even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that the sale's no good. We saw a twist on that earlier with Rav Nachman. The Mashabde Lenizak. Because even though the Mazik might own it, it's Meshubad Lenizak, and either we'll say it's an absolutely no good sale, or it's a good sale, but the Nizak can go collect it, which means it's effectively not good. But Hekdesho Mukdash, even Rabbi Kiva would agree that if the Mazik is Makdish the animal, it's valid. Not because it's really inherently valid, but Meshum de Rabbi Avahu, because of another teaching of Rabbi Avahu. Te'am Rabbi Avahu, Gzeira Shema Yamru Hekdesh Yotzei Belo Pidyon. Rabbi Avahu said that in certain cases, When you effect a hekdesh, it has to be considered valid, even though it shouldn't be valid, even though you didn't have rights over it, because then people will think that hekdesh can go free without some sort of pidyon, which means in this case you have to pay a token pidyon to redeem him. Okay, that's for that breita. But now we're going to have a longer breita, which is going to again leave us with the problem of authorship, Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Kiva. Tana Rabbanan. Shor tam shehizik. Right? Ad shalom ad bedin. Right now, the we're between Nezek and Hamad Abedin. Machro machur hekdesho mukdash. We think we're talking about the Mazik. If he sells it, it's good. If he's makdish, it's good. Shchaton tano matana. If he shechted it or gave it matana, mashasa sui, that's valid. But mishamad bedin, if he did any of those things afterwards, machro eno machur hekdesho eno mukdash. Shchaton tano matana lo asav lo klum. It's meaningless. After Hamad Abedin, he has no rights over it in that way. Now, kadmu balei chovodu vigbihu. Let's say that people who he owed money to came and collected the shor, bein chavad shelo hizik, bein hizik shelo chav. Whether or not their debt was, the debt to them was incurred before the nezek or afterwards, lo asu v'lo klum. In any case, it's nothing. Why? Lefisha ein mishtalim ele megufo. A shor tam is only paid from its body, and therefore they have no rights to this animal, even though the debt incurred was beforehand. Now, Muad Shizik, Ben Shamad Bedin, Ben Shalom Ad Bedin, in the case of a Muad, whether or not there was Hamad Ad Bedin, Machom Achor, Ektashom Mukdash, Shchaton Tanom Atanam, Asha Sasui, Kanmu Balei Chovod, Vigbiu, Ben Chavad Shalom Hizik, Ben Hizik Ad Shalom Chav, Masha Sasui, Vejen Mishtalam Elam Min Aliyah. In every case with a muad, whatever the mazik does is fine. Sale, gift, hektesh, somebody else collects it for a debt, that's fine too. Because the payment for mazik, for muad, is meitav and not from the animal itself. There's no shibur on the animal. All right. Let's analyze this. Amar mar, machro machur luridya. So we said in the first case, say the sale is good. Hey, well, the sale is good even though the nizak can come and collect it, but it means that whatever work the buyer gets out of it at that point, he doesn't owe to anybody. Hekdesho mukdash. What's that? Mishum ravav. Like we said earlier, ravav, hekdesh is valid insofar as we can't just let it become chulin without some sort of an act of pidyon. Shchaton tano matana, we say that that's valid. Now, masha sasui. Bishtaman tano matana, masha sasui. The gift, I understand, because it's like a sale, luridya. Meaning, if he gives the animal as a gift, then the person who gets it does some work with it, he doesn't have to pay for that work back to whoever collects it. Ela shchato, but if he shechted it, leite b'lishtoy m'bisrei, why doesn't the niza come and collect the money from the flesh of this animal? Tanya chai, the Torah says, umachurat ashor hachai. If the sell the shor achai, ainly el achai, all I know is if he's alive. Shchatominayin, how do I know that even if we shechted the animal, you could come and collect from him? Tamalom achru et ashor, you sell the shor. Mikol makom, meaning that even if the owner was shechted a shor tam, you could still come collect your half nezek from that. Amar Rav Shizvi lo nitzuch el pchat shchita. He said, no, you know what it's coming for? It's coming to tell you that pchat shchita, meaning the devaluation of the animal that happens as a result of shchita, that's what Masha Sasui, meaning that that the Nizak has no claims on that. So that tells you that if a person is mazik, the shibud of another fellow, I mean, there's three people here. One person, let's say, borrowed money from another person. And the shibud for that payment is a particular field. And a third person comes along and wrecks that field. He's potter, even though he limited or obliterated the other fellow's rights to collection. So, pshita, we know that that's true. After all, in a normal case of mazik shibud shachavero, the fellow can say to the guy who can't collect, says, I didn't do anything to you, I did something to him. I just took away your opportunity to collect through this vehicle. I didn't wipe out your rights of collection. But in a normal case, maybe you're chayiv. We'll see what that is. Kamash palan. So hanami rabba amra. Rabba already taught that. This is what's called dina de garmi. If somebody burns up a shtar chov that another fellow owns, which means he now cannot collect on that chov, you're potter. But even that doesn't teach us the full impact. In that case, the fellow says, I just burned up some paper. But if I come to your field, which is ripe for collection, and I plow it, and I dig it, and I destroy it, maybe I'm chayiv because I didn't just burn up a piece of paper. I really destroyed a field. So I may have a debt towards the fellow who had a claim on that field, a lien on that field. And if you shecht an animal that there's a shibur on, that's like plowing up a field and digging in it. And nonetheless, the Mishnah said, the Braita said, Masha Sasui, which means that it is valid. So that proves to you that whenever somebody has a shibur on something and a third party comes along, or even the first party comes along and damages it, the second party, the one who's going to collect, has no recourse against him, even though the damage was a real damage, not just a virtual damage, like burning up a shtar. So he said, if debtors come and collect, this is a short time, if creditors come and collect from the shore, their collection is no good, even if they had a claim that predated the nezek. Why? Because the animal itself is the vehicle for collection. So, I understand if the nezek was first, why the balei chov didn't do anything because they were first. But if the debt was incurred earlier, then he should have the claim. And by the way, even if the nezek was first, this balchov collected first, right? And So what do you infer from that? Shmamina b'chov me'ucha shekara me'gava ma'shegava lo gava. If you have two ba'alei chov, and the second one, the one who's chronologically later, comes and collects before the earlier one, clearly we don't allow him to keep it. We see that from here. But the problem is, in our case, we said it's even true if the nezek came, if the chov came first. So lo li'olam im gava. Really, it could be that in a normal case of a chov, if a later ba'al chov collects before the earlier ba'al chov, it's a valid collection. And this case is different, because after all, if the ba'al chov would collect the shore, the nizak couldn't turn around and say, listen, if it's time to collection, I'll come to you anyways to collect the shore. So you may as well give it back. After all, the Torah, the shore that was mazik, I collect from it anyways. So in any case, the shore is going to be nailed, which means this says nothing about a normal case of balchov, meuchar, muktam, or anything else. Torah Rabbanan, shor shev ha-matayim, shnagach shor shev ha-matayim, v'chaval bo b'chamishim zuz. A slight twist on our Mishnah. You have two shvarim of equal value, and the mazik did 50 zuz. Number doesn't matter here. He did a certain amount of damage to the other one. So the other one still has some value. Right now it has 150. Which means, theoretically, the mazik should have to pay, this is a short time, the mazik should have to pay 25 zuz. And now the nizak, suddenly, instead of being worth 150, shot up to be worth 400. The market went up. And had not been for the damage, he would have been worth 800. And you could see why this is connected to Dina de Garmi. Because the mazik indirectly caused over 400 zuz worth of damage. 400 zuz worth of damage. But he only directly damaged 50. So, netain kishat hanezek. The answer is you only pay kishat hanezek, which means you pay as if the shore was worth 200 and now worth 50, you pay 25. Half of 50. Kichesh, but let's say the animal went down in value, kishat hamar abedin. Then you pay based on the current value, which is the lower value. Shavach mazik, let's say that the mazik went up, because remember, you're paying for, you're using half of the mazik to pay. You're using the mazik to pay half damages. So, shavach mazik, noten lo kishat hanezek. If the value of the mazik went up, you pay based on what the mazik was worth at the time of the nezek, not now. Kichesh kishat hamar abedin, again, based on now. So, in other words, you always go for the lower value. If you went down in value, the current value. If you went up in value, the original value. Amar shavach mazik, noten kishat hanezek. We said if the mazik went up, then you pay based on the old value. Mani, Rabbi Shmuel, that sounds like Rabbi Shmuel. Damar bal chovu v'zuzi hu namasik lei. That sounds exactly like Rabbi Shmuel, who says the nizak has no ownership on the shore. The appreciation doesn't help him at all. Rabbi Shmuel, I incurred a debt at the time of the nezek, and that debt comes out of the animal. So if the animal went up in value, that's of no issue. So Ema seifa kichesh kashat hamar abedin. But look at the next statement. If it went down in value, it sounds like you pay the current value, which sounds like it goes down on the nizak's ticket. Atan Rabbi Akiva. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva. The Mar Shutfininu says that they're shutfin. They're huchlat ashor. Are you sure Rabbi Shmuel was safe for Rabbi Akiva? Which is a little bit strange. Lo, kula Rabbi Akiva. He answers the whole thing's Rabbi Akiva. Hachamay askinan kshepitmo. We're talking about a case where the nizak, where the mazik fattened up his own cow, where the mazik was fattened up his own cow, and now there's no reason for him to have to pay because of that appreciation in value. Ikshapit mo'im emereish shavach amar al dal meod zuz ten lo kishat hanezek. If we're talking about a case where he fattened him up, look at the reisha where the nizak went up in value. If we're talking about a case of pitmo, then does anybody need to teach that that you don't pay? Clearly, if the nizak fattened up his own cow, obviously you're not going to now suddenly say, "Ooh, I have to pay half of its new value." That's a no-brainer. So Amar Papa Reisha Mishkachat Laben the Pitma Ptume Ben the Shavcha Mela. The Reisha, in the case where it went, where the Nizak went up in value, could happen where he fattened him up or where it went up on its own. And it's there to teach you in the case where it went up on its own because market value went up that you still pay based on the old value. Seifa lo Mishkachat La Elak Shapitma. You're right. The Seifa only works in a case where he fattened him up. And it really is unnecessary. Kichesh kishat amara b'din. Kichesh machmat mai. So we said that if it went down in value, you pay based on the original value. Why did it go down in value? Is it because the nizak continued to work its animal and now it got worse? So you made your animal worse off because you kept working him and I have to pay for that? That's a no-brainer. The answer is that he got worse because of the wound. The owner of the nizak says, your animal's horn is ki'ilu, still stuck in my animal, and he continues to depreciate. There I would think you would pay based on the original nezek. The answer is no, you pay as per the value right now. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up with the second half of Mishnah Tet in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.